Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 45. Sorry on the delay here. Myself, Austin, I was ridiculously sick the past half week, so I just couldn't.
Would you say you had Venom?
I might. Honestly, I went and saw Venom in, like, probably, like, the worst stretch of my sickness, and I came out thinking that maybe it would actually probably have been better to have Venom, have the symbiote, than actually have the flu. Like
symbiote?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what? We'll talk about that soon, because this episode is Venom.
Yeah, so we'll give the non-spoiler and spoiler review for that, and then all your news. We got a fair amount of trailers this week, too, but should probably zip right through for most of this stuff here. All right, so movie news. This is something that people kind of, like, joked about when the James Gunn getting fired from Marvel/Disney first came out. Everyone was like, oh, DC should just pick him up. Like, that would be a good move. Like, he knows how to do that kind of stuff. Well, they did. So he is joining Suicide Squad 2 to write and possibly direct. I don't know why they wouldn't let him direct if he's writing the script. I believe originally Suicide Squad 2 was supposed to be directed by the dude that made The Accountant with Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah. I like that guy.
And, yeah, he's not bad. David Ayer wasn't coming back at all, who made the first Suicide Squad. But James Gunn, on board. Gonna make it. Apparently, they don't know if it's gonna be a direct sequel, if it's gonna be, you know,
I've
a whole
heard
new story,
soft
whole new characters.
Reboot, even though it still be titled Suicide Squad 2. I feel like as long as you bring back Margot Robbie, you're okay, because she's got that Birds of Prey.
She's
movie
got like
coming.
Eight other movies.
You can't recast her. Yeah, like you can recast everybody else. Honestly, everybody else, in my opinion, was forgettable. Even Will Smith, like recast him, it's fine.
Yeah, Will Smith's character was pointless. It was just anyone could have done that. The one person I actually do think would be cool to come back would be Jai Courtney. I think he was actually good.
See, he did nothing for me. I don't even remember. What were his powers? Just he got mad at people?
I wanted to fist fight
everybody?
Yeah.
I think he threw a boomerang.
Yeah, he had the boomerang.
That's the worst power ever. He has a boomerang? Crocodile Dundee had a goddamn boomerang.
But he was, like, kind of funny and entertaining.
It was
different from, you know, seeing Jai Courtney in every other bland, like,
yeah,
potential henchman role. So.
Yeah, at least he had a sweet mustache, if I remember correctly,
yeah,
or,
yes,
like, sweet mutton chops or something.
Yeah, I think it was mutton chops.
I like this, though. I mean, James Gunn landing on his feet and saying, like, listen, MCU, if you don't want me, I'm moving to the DCEU.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. DC, again, just, I have no idea what they're doing, but I think, almost like, I think this only works because of the position they were in. If they were even somewhat remotely successful in comparison to Marvel, I don't think they would hire James Gunn. They probably wouldn't want to risk that.
It's kind of a shot at them, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of, like, DC can, like we've said a million times in the past year, is they're just throwing everything at the wall, seeing what sticks. Mm-hmm. This is just another method of that. Just maybe pick up the scraps from Marvel and see if that works.
I think this is a smart throwing poop at the wall. I think this poop's gonna stick.
No. Next up, this is Disney just loves live actioning everything nowadays, I guess. So they're gonna make a live action remake of Lilo and Stitch.
Wait, what? Really?
So live action CGI.
Okay. Like, you know, like our together. Like our top anticipated movie of next year, Sonic.
Yes, the Hedgehog. Yes, just
and
like
Mario,
that.
I think, as well. And some
and,
other movie we talked
Detective
about.
Detective Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu. Even one more that we talked about, I think. Like last year or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember.
But there's plenty of that stuff. So they're doing this. Don't know if it's just going to be like a strictly Disney streaming platform thing or if it's going to be sort of wide release. I don't think Lilo and Stitch is like a top Disney movie for a lot of people.
I'll be honest. I don't even remember that movie. I know it was in Hawaii. I know Lilo was a cute little alien thing, but I don't remember this movie. I don't know if I've fully seen it.
I think Stitch was the alien thing.
Whatever. See, that's... That's where we're at. I would venture to say this lives on their streaming service. I don't think there's enough following for this to go wide.
I'm interested in what the streaming service will look like in regards to like what movies go on there. Like I guess I never even thought of it as like a Netflix thing where Disney will just produce movies just put on their service.
Yeah.
I just figured everything that they release in theaters they would put on there, but
It'll be their supplement for their direct to DVD, like the Lion King 2s, the Lion King 3s, the Aladdin, whatever. All those movies that no one's ever seen.
Yeah, I guess. God, I just can't imagine anyone would be excited for this.
Let us know if you're excited for this, because this doesn't tickle anything for me.
Yeah. Next up, speaking of Margot Robbie, a couple stories ago, she is going to star in a Barbie movie at Warner Brothers. So this has been in development for quite a while, apparently. It was originally at Sony. and Sony was going to get it made with Amy Schumer.
I remember talking about this.
Yep, and that had been sort of in development for a few years, and then Amy Schumer had to drop out because of scheduling difficulties.
What a shame.
And so then Sony tried bringing on Anne Hathaway, blonde Anne Hathaway, and that didn't work out, and then the rights apparently reverted back to Mattel or whoever makes Barbie dolls, and they were like, we're going to go with Warner Brothers because they have Margot Robbie, and so now Margot Robbie's going to be in a Barbie movie.
So here's the thing. Barbie these days, I thought, was trying to move away from the blonde bombshell with the huge boobs and ridiculous proportions that most women these days can't hold a candle to. With Amy Schumer, they're like, Barbie can be bigger. And I was kind of behind that message. And now here we are with Margot, who's like nearly perfect. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't quite know.
Like that, that we're going like in the 50s, if they made a Barbie movie, Margot would be a great star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is like the definition of a Barbie. Like, she is a Barbie in human form. So, I guess it works, like, but you're right. They were trying to move away from that and trying to be, like, more feminist and more all-inclusive.
Even in the toy line, they've moved away from the proportions and that ridiculousness. So, I don't get this. And maybe it'll be a case of they're going to cast another woman actor that is not as perfect as her. I don't. Maybe she's the bad Barbie. Who knows? But
I kind of like that.
Ooh, bad Barbie. Bad Barbie Margot. I can get behind this.
I like that.
All right, we got to stop.
Let's write this movie. We got to pitch Warner Brothers. Apparently, what I was reading, though, was apparently, like, toys in general, like Barbie and, like, Hot Wheels and, like, all that shit is doing really bad. Like, they're declining a ton because kids will just only care about, like, apps and, like, video games that you can play on, like, a phone or an iPad or something, and they don't really care about going and venturing and playing with stupid toys. Like,
I also have to imagine they're buying things they see in these apps and in these movies and in these cartoons. Like, there's not... They don't know Barbie because Barbie's not on the iPad.
Yeah.
So they're buying Avengers things, not Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we'll see what that turns out to be and how that cast kind of rounds out. I feel like Armie Hammer would probably be like a perfect Ken doll, you know? Yeah. But
then they'd have to cast like Dane DeHaan to be like the nerdy the nerdy Ken.
Oh, God.
If you don't know who Dane DeHaan is, he's from Chronicle, and I think he played whoever James Franco played in the latest Spider-Mans.
Do you want to hear the most ridiculous Dane DeHaan role?
Sure.
Dane DeHaan played James Dean in a movie. James Dean, famous heartthrob actor that died super young. Dane DeHaan is a goblin.
He's a goblin, and he played the son of Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, James Franco is like a hot goblin, and Dane DeHaan is just a goblin. Anyway, we're getting off track here.
Yeah. Next up, Netflix has moved into continuing their sort of attempt at the fantasy world game. They bought the rights to Chronicles of Narnia and that whole selection of books and novels, and are going to make those into new movies. So obviously, there was like the original. There was like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which was actually pretty decent. We had James McAvoy as Mr. Tumnus, the like goat man.
He looked hilarious.
And then there's I think three more, which all kind of steadily declined, and then kind of.
I remember
fell off
the second one.
The second
it was
one,
like
I think
it was like Chronicles of Narnia 2, the Prince of Persia, or something.
there was a prince
of Caspian.
Something like that.
Prince Caspian, yeah. And then the third one, I do not... Oh, was that the one with the...
Voyage of Dawn Treader, that was one. That might have been the last one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Which one was the one with Tilda Swinton? Is that the first one?
That's the first one, yeah.
Okay, I liked that one. I don't remember two. I don't think I saw three.
Yeah, but they didn't do very good. So I don't know how I feel about this, just because obviously it was like only the one movie was good, and the rest of them couldn't even bother to get either of us into the theaters. So
if they get Liam Neeson back as the Tiger, I'm in. I think he was the Tiger. I've read that Amazon is just going after that Game of Thrones money, and you know they've got this, they've got a
Netflix
trailer.
Has this now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I think both Amazon and Netflix,
well, yeah,
both going after that fantasy money. So it makes sense. Amazon's got Lord of the Rings. Netflix trying their hand at this. Amazon's got some other weird trailer we'll talk about soon, but yeah, going after that fantasy money, man.
This does actually. I actually kind of like this movie by Netflix because obviously it's an established property, but this is more of like the kid side of things or youth side of things. But then they're also making like The Witcher, which feels like this is going to be more adult and mature. So I guess they're hitting all possible aspects of the fantasy realm.
And then they've got like Sabrina, which looks kind of dark, like dark enough that you and I might want to watch it, but teeny enough that I don't know if you saw the newest trailer, but it showed a little bit more
We'll be talking about it.
Oh, it's on here. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Next up, Chris Evans and Michael Shannon and Lakeith Stanfield have all joined Rian Johnson's Knives Out movie. So this is going to be what he's making like pretty soon or almost immediately, I believe, before he does his whole Star Wars trilogy, if that's still happening. But this is like a classic murder mystery kind of thing. Daniel Craig is already on board to be in it as the detective or the cop. There's no real information behind their three roles, but that's a pretty stacked cast.
It is, and nice to start to see what's going to happen post-Avengers for Chris Evans. I know before he signed, he was super hesitant, like, I don't want to be locked into this forever. Mm-hmm. And you got to imagine, as much as he loves the role, and we saw him post his goodbye on, I think, Instagram this week, he's got to be ready to do some new things. So really excited for this.
Yeah, and it's actually funny. Chris Evans wasn't really someone that I cared about before the Avengers or before the Marvel Universe. And I didn't even care about him as Captain America because I didn't really like the first Captain America. But now I'm kind of like pretty invested in him. And I've he was in Snowpiercer. Loved that. Even that Gifted movie, which is sort of more just like a family tearjerker kind of movie. I like that. He was good in that. So I'm actually kind of very interested in what he moves on, and this is a great first step to do after Avengers.
Yeah, and a stat cast, and I think the jury's still out on, is Rian Johnson any good? So I think we need to see what he does next year to make that decision.
Actually, speaking of the Avengers, so Mark Ruffalo did an interview with some website or show, and basically He has like a little bit of a blabbermouth. He did an interview like 2 years ago. Yeah, he did an interview like 2 years ago before Infinity War came out, and he said like, "Oh yeah, you guys aren't ready for this. Like everyone dies." And like Don Cheadle was there and was like, "Dude, stop."
Yeah.
And so everyone just thought he was kidding, and then like it came out and it was like, "Oh well, he let everyone know." And so
he's
like on
lockdown. Right. Yeah.
It's like him and Tom Holland are like on lockdown because they can't keep their mouths shut. But apparently, he went and did this interview, and he was like, "Yeah, so we're gonna reveal like the title of Avengers 4," and they show the interview, and they bleeped out like what he said. He's like, "Oh yeah, it's Avengers like bleep," and someone did some weird audio editing software and removed the bleep.
What is?
And basically, he says the last Avenger.
Ooh.
But doesn't that sound weird if it's called Avengers The Last Avenger?
It does.
But it works if it's just The Last Avenger with no Avengers.
Or just
before.
Avengers The Last. No, that's stupid. But I like The Last Avenger.
Yeah,
it makes me think, you know, all the OGs die except the one, maybe Tony, you know, Thor. Hulk, you know, who knows, but I like that.
Tony.
Whenever you say Tony, I can't. All I hear
Tony,
is his voice.
Thanos is coming. He's coming, Tony.
But that's not, like, officially confirmed yet, so. But it would be cool, I think, if it's called The Last Avenger. It feels like it comes down to, like, Chris Evans or something, and then he dies.
Yeah.
All right, next up, World War Z, the sequel that's sort of been in development here for the past, I don't even know, 5 years, is actually going to finally start production next year, in June, so a little bit, you know, later, but David Fincher is officially directing, Brad Pitt is back. David Fincher is working on the script with the guy that created Utopia, which, yeah, I believe you've sung the praises, yeah, of Utopia before. And basically, Fincher was just like, I don't want to do this until like we have the script right, and that's why it's sort of taken so long. And now he is working on Mindhunter Season 2, which means he's going to be shooting that until the end of the year and then doing a couple months of like post-production, and then he's finally going to shoot this. But I'm pretty excited about this. Did you like the first World War Z?
It was forgettable to me. I don't even remember it. But I'm sure it was like a solid B minus, right?
Yeah, I think it was like a B. I think it was pretty entertaining. But I don't know. I anything that Brad Pitt is in, I think I love like automatically.
And from what I've been told, the source material is great. Like people have wanted a better version of this for some time, and nobody's better than our boy David F. So.
Apparently the thing that people were mad about, or the reason that people like trashed the first one, is because the book is like globetrotting and going from like a bunch of different stories to like different stories around the globe of like what had happened. The movie was just following Brad Pitt's character as he, you know, I guess technically did go around the globe, but it wasn't like hitting like all these different stories that were, or like,
yeah,
whatever, that were a part of the book overall. Mm-hmm. And so people were mad about that because it does sound like it would be kind of cool. But I think if you were to actually adapt the book, it would probably have to turn into like a mini series and not a movie.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like if they're bringing Brad Pitt back, you can't really go and do that anyways because you're already set on the story, like building on the story that was there before.
I don't know about this one, man. I feel like we have zombie fatigue. But we'll see.
But it's Fincher, so.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. He was going to do Utopia for American audience on HBO. So it's funny that he teamed up with the writer of the UK Utopia. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Last movie news story of the week. Netflix has officially committed to make the Panama Papers drama The Laundromat. From Steven Soderbergh, who made, you know, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13, Logan Lucky most recently. David Schwimmer has joined the cast, which is already headlined by Gary Oldman, Meryl Streep, and Antonio Banderas. So the Panama Papers was a couple years ago, a few years ago, basically like this company in Panama set up a bunch of fake companies around the world to hide like very rich people's money, and mm-hmm. it kind of connected to people in governments around the world, connected to celebrities around the world, all this kind of stuff. And so finally making a movie about it feels like it's just gonna, it feels like originally when The Post came out last year, the other Meryl Streep movie, I thought leading up into it, because that was about the Pentagon Papers, and I got the names mixed up. I originally thought that's what that movie was about, so I was way more excited for that, and then I was like, oh, this seems boring. So this just feels like The Post 2.0.
Well, I think Soderbergh will make it a little bit quicker dialogue and a little bit snappier than Spielberg's The Post. Great cast, something that I don't know a lot about, and we love Soderbergh, so... yeah, Netflix, awesome. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of feels like something that could be kind of Big Short-like, too.
Yes.
So always in for that. Last news story of the week is for TV news. Streaming Ooh. News, I guess, technically. This is for Jon Favreau's Star Wars TV series. So details have finally been sort of revealed about this, as well as an image, actually. So it's called The Mandalorian. And this is... going to, oh my god, sorry, Hollywood Reporter just ruined my life here trying to
put ads in front of you.
But yeah, but this is just gonna be on the Disney streaming service. Don't really know, I guess, if they're shooting it now, if they already have an image for it. Maybe it's like one of the big things that's gonna be on there right when it premieres. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening. But Jon Favreau gonna write, executive produce. He released a bunch of directors that are directing the episodes for the series. But basically the details. After the stories of Django and Boba Fett Another warrior emerges in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travails of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic.
Ooh.
So, as the Star Wars expert between us two, how do you feel about this?
I'm excited. Favreau knows what he's doing, and the list of directors is really impressive. Did you rattle those off already? Did I blank that out?
No, I did not. I didn't have those up. I
just we got Taika Waititi, mm-hmm. Bryce Dallas Howard. This is off the top of my head.
Yeah, interesting.
Some other exciting people. God, there was one or two others. Pull that up, because that's what gets me excited.
I got it for you. All right,
even George Lucas, I think, is doing an episode.
Is he? Okay. So we got... oh, my God. Where is it? Deborah Chow, who is the showrunner behind Jessica Jones. Rick Famuyiwa, who made Dope and was nice. Going to make the Flash movie. Yeah, those are the ones that are on the Star Wars website, along with Bryce Dallas Howard and Taika Waititi.
Maybe Lucas is rumored. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for this. And if they go a little bit darker and don't just make it to sell toys, it might be something that scratches an itch that we've never really had.
Yeah. We all know my thoughts on Star Wars stuff, and I don't care.
You gotta give it a shot.
I just don't care about it. I just don't care about the Star Wars universe.
You're gonna give it a shot.
All right, sure. All right, so that is it for news this week. We got some trailers for you. We'll start out with three movie trailers. So we were actually just talking about The Big Short, or I mentioned it. So we got Adam McKay's follow-up to The Big Short called Vice. So this is about Dick Cheney. The first official trailer came out for that. This is supposed to be a major Oscars player, premiering in December, starring Christian Bale as Dick Cheney. Christian Bale, you've seen the pictures of him, hopefully.
Looks
just bald,
hilarious.
Fat as hell. Yeah.
In the trailer, we get a picture of him with his belly exposed, and my God, yeah. Is he, like, the things this man does for a role.
Amy Adams is playing Lynn Cheney, Steve Carell is playing Donald Rumsfeld, and Sam Rockwell is playing George W. Bush. So this is just about Dick Cheney, you know, maneuvering his way into the vice presidency and the shit that he did during that Bush administration. What did you think about the trailer?
I was blown away. First of all, I didn't know Sam Rockwell was playing Bush. And when I saw that, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
He's got the accent down. I don't think he has like a round circular enough head, mm-hmm. but it's close enough that I think he's going to kill it. And my God, Christian Bale continues to ruin his body, then get his body into perfect condition, and then make his body skinny as hell, and then ruin his body again. Like, this man, we don't deserve him. What do you think?
I'm worried for Christian Bale's health.
Right.
To be honest, like, having that drastic of like weight changes this and, like, many times feels
bad. You've seen him in The Machinist, I think it's
oh
called.
Oh my God, yeah, that's frightening.
He's a
yeah.
stick, and it's disgusting. He looks like a skeleton.
90 pounds, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, he looks like it looks like everyone's going to be knocking it out of the park. The one thing that I'm kind of worried about with it is that George W. Bush, in his crowd facing, kind of obviously put on like sort of like the layman, dumb kind of guy personality and attitude. But like in reality, he wasn't like that stupid. And if just based on what they showed of Sam Rockwell playing him in this, it felt like they were kind of almost doing that. Like, it was like the Will Ferrell parody all over again. But he's
not
like that.
It might have just been for the trailer. You know, you got to get people hooked. I'm assuming that they won't make him a complete buffoon SNL style, but I hear you. Yeah, he wasn't that big of an idiot. So,
yeah,
we'll see how they handle him.
Yeah, but I also, like, don't... I wasn't, like, old enough, first off, to even, like, understand politics or what was going on at that time. As a matter of fact, honestly, right now, I wish I didn't care about politics, but like it feels necessary to have to care about it. So like I had no idea what Dick Cheney does or what he did or how integral he was into like starting wars and that shit. So
yeah.
I'm very interested in the information that's going to be presented, but also the performances look great. Adam McKay can deliver a story like this like he did with Big Short, so I'm pumped.
On another note, guys, vote. Please go out and vote. That's about as political as we're going to get. Let's move on.
Yeah, hopefully wherever you live has same day registration. and you can just do it when you go vote on November 6th. All right, next up, The Mule is Clint Eastwood's latest film. So he directed this, and he's starring in it. It is coming out in December as well. A 90-year-old horticulturist and World War II veteran is caught transporting $3 million worth of cocaine through Michigan for a Mexican drug cartel. Damn. So Clint Eastwood, Bradley Cooper is in this, Michael Pena is in this, Andy Garcia is in this, Tessa Farmiga is in this, Lawrence Fishburne is in this.
Whew. What a cast.
Yeah, that's a cast. My one, I just need to say this. In this trailer, it's like the first thing that happens, Clint Eastwood gets pulled over by a cop. Or no, he's a cop pulls up as he's like at the back of his truck,
yep,
checking it out, and then he like opens up a bag and it's a bunch of cocaine. Then he zips his back closed. Cop comes up, he's like, "Oh, you need any help?" And he's like, "Oh no, just transporting some stuff." And he's like, "Oh, what do you got?" Cop walks up. He's like, "Oh, I got pecans,"
mm-hmm,
and then a couple more lines go by, and then he calls them pecans. And he calls them pecans again, and it's like,
bro, you're giving yourself away right now.
Pick one way of saying it.
Also, so that's a truckload of pecans.
Yeah,
that's not realistic.
It's a lot. But this looks pretty tense.
Really tense. We know Eastwood can direct. We know he can act. Mm-hmm. Gran Torino was fantastic. But it seems like in this trailer, he's making the face that you've seen from Gran Torino. That gif of him like, it looks like he's just making that face the entire movie, where he's just disgusted. That might just be because he's like struggling to stay alive. He's so old,
90
but he's
years old.
Just a legit legend. I love the guy, even though his views can be sometimes pretty extreme. But this looks awesome, and let's get as much as we can before that man goes.
Yeah, I can't tell if they're gonna play him as like sympathetic in a way,
yeah,
or like, because I almost feel like it doesn't feel like this guy was a very sympathetic man. Like he was smuggling drugs, you know.
Yeah, that's not the most terrible thing you can do. Like he's probably not hurting people. He is indirectly hurting people, but I think that's what it's gonna toy with. Is like this guy meant to do well. He probably did it for his family, even though he was a shit family member. So. Definitely looks like a good intense drama.
Yeah, it is wild to see Bradley Cooper though in this trailer with like super short hair, and then you see like Star Is Born trailers where he's got like the longest hair going on right now too. It's
just, hair goals.
Yeah. Next up is for Pet Sematary. So this is a yet another Stephen King adaptation. I believe they already made a movie back in like the 80s. Right?
They did.
70s. Mm-hmm. 80s?
Yep. 80s.
But this is coming out next year in April. It's about. Do you want to describe what it's about?
I'll recap from what I remember reading the book as a high schooler. This is a really scary book. I don't think I ever saw the movie, but it's about a couple that moves to a house where in the backyard there's a big old forest, and the forest has powers, and there's a cemetery in the back there, and basically, things that you bury come back to life, but they're very, very different. So I believe the premise is they lose a pet, and the first thing they bury is the pet comes back to life, not quite the same. Later on, people may or may not die. They may or may not use that cemetery, and all hell breaks loose. It is a terrifying book. You'd think with the title, it's kind of cheesy, but it haunted me as a kid, and I'm excited to see that the movie looks more like it and less like the Dark Tower adaptation, which destroyed me.
This must have like gone in production pretty fast, because I feel like it was just announced that it was getting made like officially like 2 months ago.
Yeah,
and there's already a trailer pumped out. It seemed like a fair amount of footage for the trailer too.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing about it, I was just like, oh, and little pets come back to life. Like that's
right.
Sound
the
very
title's
scary.
Bad,
but. The trailer got me. I am so hooked. I want to read the book. I want to go
Anybody listening should read the book. It is really good.
Because it looks freaking creepy. It looks dark. And it just looks entertaining, too. And it doesn't feel like it's just going to be like, you know, like this is some like dread-filled shit. Like it's Hereditary, you know, respect to Hereditary. Or like just like cruddy, like, trying to be, like...
jump scare.
Entertainment for the masses, jump scare, like, yeah. I don't know, Truth or Dare or something, so...
The thing that worried me was the creepy kids and the masks. Creepy kids do nothing for me, but from what I've read, Stephen King has gotten the rights to his movie, like, anything based off his novels, and, like, he gets to kind of give final approval and be part of the creative process, so... If anybody knows, it's him, and I'm really stoked for this.
Yeah, the two things that only troubled me about this were the kids, but the fact that they're like wearing I don't know if it's a plus or a minus that they're wearing masks or what, because like masks just feel like, oh, that's like something that horror movies do. And then like there's a shot of like a undead cat or like a reanimated cat or whatever, and I was just like, that cat isn't scary.
Oh, the cat like sitting in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
I thought he looked like a badass.
Yeah,
he looked kind of cool. Well, I just like that he looked like kind of a mangy dead cat instead of a CG nonsense.
Yeah,
fine with that.
True, good point.
But I think all pointing to good things here. I think hype level's really high here.
Yes, definitely. Next up, we got an official full trailer for the chilling adventures of Sabrina. That's going to be on Netflix at the end of the month. There was a teaser before that we were actually kind of like surprised about. It seemed like pretty dark. This one tones down the darkness a little bit. Feels much more like that CW kind of like Riverdale kind of vibe. I did like the trailer though. Like I liked the balance of, you know, like goofiness with horror.
Yeah, I liked the first one better because there wasn't as much CW-ness to it, but the wife is all over this. She's like, oh my god, I want to watch that, and I'm like, it's doing enough for me that I might give it a shot.
Yeah,
it might be kind of just like a guilty pleasure thing where I throw it on, don't have to pay attention really to it, but the horror aspect looks good. I do love Kierna Shipka, or whatever her name is, from Mad Men. So yeah, I'm pretty hyped for this. Definitely, it'll be, just I think, a guilty pleasure for us, but... They're going for an audience that doesn't have a dark show like this, really. So I think it's gonna be successful.
Yeah, I agree. And then another Netflix show, Marvel's Daredevil season 3 got a trailer here. I'm surprised. I thought it already had a season 3, but I guess it's just because of like the Defenders series or whatever the hell
it's
like that
season
was.
Season 2.5, basically.
Yeah. But I was much lower on season 2 of Daredevil than season 1. And I have not watched any of those Marvel Netflix shows since the end of Luke Cage, because Luke Cage just got terrible after like episode 4. And I've heard just bad things about everything else, and I haven't really given Jessica Jones season 2 a chance. But this might reel me back in. It looks interesting. I'm glad that Vincent D'Onofrio's back, because Vincent D'Onofrio was amazing as the villain, as Kingpin. And I like that. I was a little worried that it was going to go the typical route where, like, the superhero has to, like, turn bad to defeat the bad guy or something like that. And it was kind of like they were doing that, but then they kind of reveal at the end that the dude is just, like, having someone act like he's Daredevil going around, so people are confused by that. And I like that. I like that sort of twist on the typical cliche story there.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything as far as where I am with watching these Netflix shows. I think we all agree that they should be, whatever they are every episode, every season, they should be 2 episodes less. Like, make them a little tighter, and you'd get me. I don't really remember what happened at the end of Daredevil 2. I did not watch Defenders. I'm wondering why he doesn't have his suit.
I don't remember exactly, but I remember they had to kill, like, Elektra. Was she Elektra? I don't know.
She was Elektra,
Yeah, and they killed her, and then, like, the hand or whatever, like, the weird ninja people, brought her back to life and, like, took her in, like, a coffin and brought her back to life or
something.
Okay,
don't remember that. We might have to watch some recaps, but...
It was bad.
Yeah, I'm hyped for this. I was like, all right, I'll watch season 3, or this trailer, because Daredevil's the only one that's consistently okay.
Yeah.
But now I'm really hyped. Vincent D'Onofrio's a goddamn legend, and that guy just has such a screen presence that...
Oh, my God,
him being back is a big plus, and I think both you and I will watch this and probably do an episode on it.
Oh, yeah. Another Netflix show, House of Cards Season 6, Kevin Spacey, Begone, Devil, Robin Wright Penn, officially taken over as president here, as Claire Underwood, and we got Greg Kinnear is joining, Diane Lane is joining, feels like pretty much everyone else is gone, except for, like, the dude that is playing, like, the Putin stand-in, and Doug Stamper.
Doug Stamper, the ultimate bro.
He's back. Yeah. But it feels like she is dealing with fallout basically from people saying that like she doesn't deserve it or she's too emotional. It feels like they're leaning into like kind of like, you know, what people's fears over
a female
people's
president.
Unreasonable fears over what a female president would be like getting emotional about shit and stuff like that. And so it feels like it leaned into that a little bit, but then it feels like, you know, they're doing the typical House of Cards stuff where it's constantly chess games and pitting yourselves against people that are also like in your own party or in your own cabinet or whatever. So, House of Cards has been just kind of wild, randomly hitting high spots and then low spots. And, you know, once season 5 ended, I was kind of like, I really don't care. And they were going to make her president anyways, so I don't really care that Kevin Spacey's gone. I don't know.
Before I give my thoughts, I want to shout out to one of the best trivia names we ever came up with. Greg Kinnear is an actor that, like, you kind of know who he is, but you kind of know his name, but don't really care about him. He hasn't really been in too many things. So we made our trivia name one day, R.I.P. Greg Kinnear. And, like, people were kind of like, oh, Greg Kinnear. Oh, and then they Googled him. They're like, oh, he died? He was good in stuff? Because, like, you can't. What movie do you know that Greg Kinnear's been in? Like, come on. So, like, we kind of had the audience Googling him and being like, oh God, I wonder how amazing. He died. But he did. There's nothing about it. Did he really die? So,
that's amazing.
Genius trivia name. But I don't know about, like, I thought the premise was really dumb, like House of Cards without Spacey. But trailer looked okay. And she looks like she can carry a season, at least enough to provide closure on the series. Mm-hmm. And I think this series holds a special place in people's hearts. It kind of like kicked off the Netflix can have their own cool shows, like, yep, brigade. So happy to see it getting a final ending. Of course we're going to watch it, but who knows?
Yeah. And then the final trailer this week is for Good Omens. We've got a teaser trailer for this. This is an Amazon Prime show starring Michael Sheen and David Tennant. And actually, I believe John Hamm is going to be in it a little bit. This is about an angel and a demon that have sort of known each other throughout the entire history of humans, coming together to prevent like the end of the world, it seems like. And it seems wild.
It does. I don't know really what to think here. It looks kind of goofy and pompous and fun, but not kind of serious. Like, the tone is all over the place.
I liked everything about it, except for the fact that a lot of, like, the action stuff, or, like, there's, like, explosions in this, looks really low budget.
Low budget
as hell.
And it's
very troubling that, like, this is an Amazon Prime show, and they didn't give it, like, any money, and it looks bad, but everything about it, I enjoyed both of their characters, like, the two main characters. I enjoyed, like, their banter. I thought it was funny, and I thought it was, like, intriguing. I'm kind of all about, like, the end of the world kind of stuff, especially where, like, it involves, like, the actual angels and stuff, but it just looks so low budget.
It has a low quality look to it.
Yes.
It has a look that's like an ABC show or something, like Once Upon a Time or something.
Yeah.
Where it just has that.
Even worse than that.
Yeah. Like flatter than that.
Yeah.
It looks like something that, like, you know, Facebook's trying to get into Facebook TV. It looks like something that, like, Tumblr would make their own show, and this is what it would be. But like, everything about it should be good, so holding out hope that the trailer, that this is just really early footage, unfinished CG, and a real trailer would look pretty good, because love the cast, love the dialogue, love the premise, but it just kind of looks bad.
Yeah. All right, so that is it for trailers this week. It is time to talk about Venom. So we'll start out with a non-spoiler review of Venom. We'll just go over some of the background on it here. So Rotten Tomatoes score 30%, critics score average rating 4.5 out of 10 out of 230 reviews. 89% of audience liked it, though. That's 4.3 out of 5 average rating, which is pretty good, to be
pretty
honest.
Good. Yeah, entertaining flick.
Yeah, and that's 24,000 ratings.
Wow.
So it made $80 million, 205 worldwide. So finished at number one on a budget of $100 million. So,
dude, this movie made bank.
I think we might be getting a Venom 2.
We're getting a sequel.
And apparently this last weekend was like the best weekend ever for an October. So it was like this and A Star Is Born really boosted. And I guess Night School is still kicking. But critics' consensus, Venom's first standalone movie turns out to be like the comics character in all the wrong ways, chaotic, noisy, and in desperate need of a stronger attachment to Spider-Man. This stars Tom Hardy, Riz Ahmed, Michelle Williams, Reed Scott, who plays Dan in this, and Dan in Veep.
I cracked up when he came on screen.
As well as Jenny Slate is in this. Everyone in the trailer made fun of her because she said symbiote. She says symbiote in this. So they changed it. They did a little auto-dubbing. Good move by them. I wish they would have left it. I think it would have been hilarious to just have, like, her always saying that, everyone else saying symbiote, and it's just like, why is it like that?
I just how did that get past editing and into the trailers, and like all the fans were like, what the hell is she talking about?
But it's directed by Ruben Fleischer, who made Zombieland. He has not made anything else that has been good. basically it's about Eddie Brock is Tom Hardy, who is like an investigative journalist, and Michelle Williams is his fiance, who works as a lawyer who has a case with the company that Riz Ahmed works for, or runs, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
And Eddie gets an assignment to go interview him to make him seem better than he actually is, where he's just, like, running pharmaceutical trials and preying on, like, homeless people and poor people to run the trials on them, whether it's safe or not. And he confronts him about it, and then he loses his job, all that stuff. And guess what? Also, this company is going to outer space and bringing stuff back, and they bring back the symbiotes, which the shuttle crashes upon re-entering the atmosphere. And so it's all about, you know, a symbiote gets away, and then they collect the rest of the symbiotes, and it's all that kind of stuff.
Good recap. Was that all off the top of your head?
Yeah, it is.
My man.
And then, obviously, eventually the symbiote attaches to Tom Hardy, and we get the whole Venom deal.
Spoilers.
What did you think about Venom?
I didn't hate it. I expected to hate it. I think from day one, I'm like, this is going to be bad. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't good, but I didn't hate it.
Do you think that you didn't hate it because of how low the ratings and reviews were?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, like, do you think
do you think if it was okay? But so obviously both our expectations were low. But if reviews came out and you say like Tomato Meter was at like 55%, do you think you would have gone in and been like, I don't really like
it? I still think that the Tomato Meter didn't have enough of an influence on me. It was just the fact that it was Sony and it was not attached to the MCU. Mm-hmm. And did I mention it was Sony? And that, it just went through so much trouble getting made. The first trailer was really bad. So all of that, I went in just thinking I was going to hate it. And I didn't hate it. I kind of had fun with it.
It kills me to say this.
Come on.
You know, I actually didn't. I didn't mind it.
Yeah,
I didn't mind it, and I was like dying in the theater from my flu. Yeah. I was like shaking and shivering and like sweating with chills, and I was just like, "Oh my god, I'm like, I can't do this."
I honestly thought that word of mouth would kill it after the first weekend, but I think word of mouth is gonna carry it. Yeah,
I know. The fact that it made that much money is mind-boggling to me. $80 million for this in October is wild.
Yeah,
and the fact that like. Most people that, like, you know, I've read are kind of like, yeah, like, I mean, like, it feels like a movie that's from, like, 2003.
It feels like Blade 2 or something.
Yes, like, yes.
Or, like, The Punisher, the second one.
Like, yeah, yeah. And they just transported it and placed it in 2018. But it's, like, it works at times.
It does.
And
it does.
You know what's weird? Is I actually think that a sequel would be better.
Yeah, I think if they make a sequel, it's going to be better and it's going to make more money. Like, this is going to get a sequel. And I think they can improve on the things that they did bad, which we'll talk about. And
they can ratchet up the stuff that was good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm blown away. Like, I liked it. Like, I didn't hate it. Like, this movie had an Eminem song. That
Venom,
like, what the hell? What year is it? Cue Robin Williams Jumanji.jpg. What year is it? This is like a Sam Raimi Spider-Man type movie, but I had fun.
It It was like a Raimi Spider-Man mixed with like the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four.
Mixed with like Guillermo del Toro Blade 2.
Yes. Yeah.
But some people are comparing it to like Catwoman bad. Like it was nowhere near. I like the wife didn't come see it with me because she thought it'd be terrible, and she was right too, because I did too. But I'm excited to watch it again with her. Like I kinda wanna watch it again.
I'll probably watch it again. This is okay. I have sung the praises of bad movies often. This is so there are good bad movies and there are bad movies. This falls somewhere in between the two.
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's just it's so bad at times.
Yeah.
That it just makes you laugh because you're like, they had to be like doing this on purpose, like for this to be this bad.
Yeah.
And it's so, it feels campy and it feels so weird. Like it's like they didn't know what they were doing making this movie and somehow it worked out because it's so just like, first off, Tom Hardy is incredulous at like what is happening in this movie, which I think is the right way to play it. And I'm like, I think the audience reflects with that because it's like, I don't understand how this movie got made, so I'm with Tom Hardy and his feelings.
Tom Hardy, nobody had any chemistry in this movie except Tom Hardy's chemistry with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Which is very impressive because that was Tom Hardy voicing Venom. Every other character was crap. I didn't buy his relationship with his girlfriend. Riz Ahmed played a terrible villain, and he's a good actor. Certain parts of it worked really, really well, and certain parts were really, really bad to the point where it was kind of like bad good.
Yeah. I hate when people say like, oh, you should have been rated R because we need gore and guts and all that shit. And it's like, I don't really know if that would have added that much for me for this. I do think like it might have like made it like, you know, it would have added to the campy effect. But the reason that I wish it was R, or the reason that I wish just fucking MPAA would change the rating guidelines, is that I think it would have been elevated if like characters could have just sworn, because I feel like it would have added to just like, because these people are so confused about what's at, like Michelle Williams and Tom Hardy and Reed Scott are just like, what is going on a lot of the time.
There could have been a lot of what the F moments
where
they could have just used profanity and it could have been funny, and I would have liked to see some actual heads be bitten off, you know, instead of just cutting.
It is kind of jarring at times when they do cut away, because it's like, oh, we're getting like our money shot. Like this really shows off like what Venom's doing. And it's like, oh, just
there's almost no blood.
Yeah,
like I don't know if there's any blood.
I don't think there is any,
which is very disappointing because Venom is supposed to be bloody and gory. So I do think an R-rated cut would make this a lot better.
It also zips by. It's like a short movie. It's like, I don't know. I think it's like an hour 50, but it felt very short to me. And I was, again, let me reiterate. I was dying in the theater from the flu, and I felt like I was only in there for like an hour.
Yeah. It was a quick watch. The first act kind of drags, and that's with things happening very quickly still. And you know, they cut from one thing to 6 months later to 3 months later. Like, it's all over the place here. And I would have liked to see that 40 minutes that Tom Hardy is talking about that was cut. And I don't know if that was from the R-rated to PG-13 cut that we think happened, or if it was just to try and make it tighter. There's some character developments that don't feel earned on both the human and Venom level, but we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on what is cut that I'll get to in spoiler section. And I have
what else you got non-spoiler?
Right on that.
I got nothing else.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else other than, like, it was just surprisingly, like, fine and enjoyable at times. But also eye-rollingly bad. But, like, the eye-rollingly bad stuff, you just laugh at.
Yeah.
Like,
it's ridiculous.
Like,
it's Venom.
Yeah, and I wasn't just, like, I wasn't angry that I was sitting there watching it. Like, I was angry, like, watching The Happy Time Murders or something like that.
Or The Nun, which is the angriest I've been watching a movie that we've reviewed. Do you have a summary and a review for me?
I do not have a summary.
No. Top of your head. Do it.
Oh, can you go first?
I'll go first. Hopefully we get an R-rated cut of Venom in the future, because PG-13 Venom is not a good movie. But Hardy's chemistry with himself, saves what should have been the disaster we were all expecting. Venom gets a C+ from me, and let me say that this was like the hardest I've taken to review something, because it wasn't average, because there's nothing else really like this. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. I'd watch it again, and I'd watch a sequel. So I don't. It was really hard to rate this.
God, I don't even know how to just describe this movie. Imagine a bad movie with all its flaws, plot holes, weird music choices, feels out of its time and dated, even though it just came out. No chemistry between characters, poorly written actors, but somehow you sit there and you're like, all right. That's what Venom is.
Yeah.
There's about three things, I think, overall in the movie that I liked and would be like, oh, that was good, and I would like to see that more. And I think that stuff will happen more in a sequel, mm-hmm. so I can't wait to see it. But this movie, bad, all right, okay.
Yeah. What's your rating?
C.
C, okay. It's just really hard to put a finger on what this movie is. So yeah. Let's just spoil it, talk about all the dumb stuff we liked and decent stuff we didn't like.
Yeah. All right, so that is it for Venom non-spoilers. If you don't want to be spoiled...
What do we got coming up potentially next week for the listeners that are tuning out right now?
Oh, yes. Next week is going to be First Man, the Ryan Gosling, Neil Armstrong biopic, and A Star is Born, starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. We should be able to get both of those to you. Otherwise, it'll be one or the other, and then the other one will come somewhere else in the rest of the month.
All right, let's spoil Venom. Venom.
So... what I think would be good in a sequel is the fact that, like you said, the best part or best chemistry was Tom Hardy with himself. And that was the most enjoyable part of this movie, because that was like the funniest dialogue. That was like the most enjoyable aspect of this. And it took them too long for them to like, you know, be palling it up. And obviously they're not like officially buddy-buddy until the very end of the movie. Mm-hmm. But like in the sequel, even just like the last... minute, the last scene of the movie, I'm already like, oh fuck yeah, give me 2 hours of just Tom Hardy and Venom bantering, walking around, Venom trying to understand how he can survive on this earth, while Tom Hardy's like, that like was a bit like a mad parent or something.
it was great. Yeah, the relationship that they had was clearly the best part of this movie. We needed more of it, and I have a feeling just 10 more minutes of them growing as a symbiote relationship would have really helped, because eventually when Venom does his heel turn and decides to save Earth, it doesn't feel earned, and I'm like, wait, you're just doing this because on your planet you're a loser and you like Brock because he's a loser?
Yeah,
it's just we really needed more of that.
That's what I think probably the 40 minutes that were cut was most of that, I feel like.
And when he says the 40 minutes that were cut were his favorite parts of the movie, that's probably why, because that was him and Venom.
Yeah.
I had the feeling it was mostly like gore and violence, but now seeing the movie, it probably had to do with more character development.
Yeah. And I didn't like the final act because it was just a CGI battle.
And it was ugly.
And it was gross. And then I also hated... Once they were finally split from the symbiotes, and it was Riz and Tom Hardy just fighting hand-to-hand fisticuffs, and Tom Hardy, like, ran up the ramp and then ran back down ramp and did, like, a Superman punch. I was just, like, rolling. I was like, that's so stupid.
Yeah. I want to go back to the beginning before we get too far. But
definitely, yeah.
Were you bored in the first act, even though it felt rushed? And also, did you buy their relationship? Because it seemed like they were like madly in love and perfect for each other. Then he messes up once and it's over.
By all means,
she was right to dump him, but like it was over quick.
Yeah. I didn't mind the first act all that much. I should say the first part of the first act.
Did you buy him as a hard hard copy reporter?
No, not at all. Did not buy him at all. Also, I feel like they toned down his New York accent, even though like they did explain that he was like originally from New York, moved to San Francisco for this woman. In the trailers, it sounded like he had like a heavy Brooklyn accent, and everyone was like, "Well, he lives in San Francisco."
So
like,
weird.
Yeah.
I want to ask you some questions.
I'm thinking about writing a Tom Hardy accent post for the website, just because it feels needed. But yeah, no, I didn't buy that relationship because, yeah, like it felt like they, you know, it felt like that, you know, they were like in love or whatever. But maybe if they would have like suggested that he'd like done some shit like that before,
yes. Or they in passing they said something like I've taken a chance on you even with all your shortcomings, yeah. But like they didn't explain.
I just and assumed,
yes, I guess his boss mentioned like you've been down this path, yeah, before.
Yeah. Oh, his boss was terrible. His boss was overacting the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, he was brutal.
Come on, Brock. I can't stick my leg out for you one more time. You've done this before, and it didn't turn out well. God.
Would you have liked to see, like, Spider-Man in this movie?
I don't know.
I don't know if
it needed Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I just wanted a better villain.
And I don't think in the future that I would want to see Spider-Man in any of
I would just
want to
see
movie.
A more... A villain that I can tell who's punching who, and a villain,
yes,
that isn't just I want to take go over the world.
Yeah.
It's just it was a bad villain,
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah,
Riz Ahmed was a joke. Everything from him coming in like Elon Musk and not answering the girl's question to him snapping and yelling at people, I want that symbiote. I could not take him seriously as a villain, which is like. He looked kind of intimidating in The Night Of with his head shaved and, like, once he started getting buff. Like, he can play intimidating, but
yeah.
I thought he was stupid. Just bad.
I don't think he was bad. I just think the character was bad.
Yeah. He was probably doing what he could,
yeah,
but, man, he was written poorly.
Yeah. Granted, like, it almost feels like in this movie, like, this kind of movie, you just got to ham it up even more, and I don't think Riz was, like, ready to ham it up that much.
He didn't ham.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you gotta ham it. I don't know if this is ever explained. Is it just, did Tom Hardy not die and Riz Ahmed not die when the symbiotes attached to them just because they liked them?
No.
Or they saw them as like...
Well, in science terms, it was explained that they weren't quote unquote a perfect match or whatever, but maybe the symbiotes internally like looked at their brains or something and was like, I don't like this host. He doesn't have enough villainous intention.
But it's
I don't
just
know.
Like it killed literally everyone else except for those two.
And how lucky is the owner of the company,
yeah,
and a kind of evil maniac that it luckily is a perfect match,
yeah,
for him. It's just, it wasn't really explained.
Yeah. Yeah. It just,
and let us reiterate that we don't know the comics and it's probably explained in the comics and we're probably supposed to know that, but yeah.
But no. I mean, but it's based on the logic that they presented in the movie. It doesn't even matter if,
yeah,
it's like that in the comics because this is potentially different logic because they presented it as a certain way. They're like, they have to find a right host for it, and then just randomly, the two people that run into symbiotes that broke out are all of a sudden fine, like, for that.
Yeah.
I just didn't quite understand it.
And what a coincidence that the homeless woman that Brock gives money to every once in a while was captured and given a symbiote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on. The whole,
yeah,
city, and you got her, and it's a perfect match, and she's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
also, the symbiote that takes over, like, over in, like, Thailand or Malaysia or wherever the hell it is,
yeah,
in the beginning of the movie. So they jump, whatever, they cut from her. That beginning to Tom Hardy's story where he gets fired, and then it cuts to 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And that symbiote still has not made its way to San Francisco, which it was its intended destination right off the bat. They
yep,
told you. So what was it doing? Was it just...
It was swimming, man.
No, but it got in a plane as a little girl.
It was walking, man. Also, yeah, in the beginning of the movie, the symbiote changes hosts, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we see it again 6 months later, it changes hosts, like, immediately.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to believe in 6 months it was just that Malaysian woman,
yeah,
the whole time?
Yeah, apparently.
Just turn your brain off.
Yeah.
Turn your brain off.
I don't know.
So there were some good lines in this. And when Venom called him a pussy for not jumping,
mm-hmm,
it got me good.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like him wanting to eat live things and him jumping in the lobster tank, which I heard was improv, got,
yep,
me good.
Yep.
Everything with those two got me good, and it was really great.
Yeah, with that scene, that restaurant scene with the lobster restaurant, that was like, I was like almost in stitches. Like, I thought it was hilarious because he was like going crazy. You know, everyone,
yeah,
else was panicking around, and I was like, yes, this is so good.
Like, I want 2 hours of,
yeah,
that, and 2 hours of him being like, no, you can't eat cats.
Yeah.
He's like, why? Brain looks good.
Yeah.
And he's like, but it's a cat. He's like, Who cares? Yeah. Like, apparently, my Venom voice is Cookie Monster, but give me caffeine.
But that's almost what like Venom's personality is.
Yeah, like just I want to eat everything.
I did love when he said that he's like a loser on his planet, and that's why he likes Tom Hardy.
Can you just imagine like other Venoms just making fun of yes, him as Venom? Like, you're such a dork. He's like, no, I'm not. Yeah. Like, there's this like status levels on this planet of goopy Venom people that he's a loser.
Oh God. Oh man.
How about Lady Venom? Did you have the weirdest boner when she came on screen?
It brought back a lot of confused feelings, you know?
Oh yeah.
That was hilarious. Like, I had heard about the Tom Hardy making out with Venom part.
I had not.
I had heard about it, and I was like, I can't wait to find it. I just assumed it was going to be the face pulling out of the back of his neck and then them making out for some reason. Yeah. But then it was that, and I was like, it was like a little less weird that way.
I thought we were going to get like dog Venom at some point, or cat Venom or something. How did? Because you could tell it got in that little pooch dog.
Yeah, it was in that dog.
But did it? It never like became a venomous creature outside of the dog. I was hoping. No. I don't know if they do.
Yeah,
that
I wonder. Yeah, I wonder how that would work.
Apparently, that dog was a perfect match.
Yeah,
as well. Luckily, how about Dan from Veep though? I thought he was going to be such an asshole like he is in Veep, but he was kind of a good guy.
He was great, and I also loved when Michelle Williams brings Tom Hardy in to the hospital for like him to look at him, and then Venom leaves his body. They trap it in there, and then he's like, what? Will you tell me what is going on? And Michelle Williams is like, there's nothing. Yeah. I don't feel anything for him, and he's like, that's not what I'm talking about.
The symbiote, you dumb.
I love that. That was so
good. How about them doing unconsented MRIs on him? They're just like, he's like, hey, where am I? Where am I? What's going on? He's like, don't worry, Brock, we're gonna take care of you. Now just lie still while we turn on this radiation chamber. He's like, okay, sounds good. That's so unrealistic. You can't just do that.
Oh man.
So many dumb things.
And then they just like let him go. They just let him go.
Yeah, I just let him go. He's like, I am out of here.
He just like had a psychotic break at this restaurant, and they're just like, we're just gonna let you go after this MRI shows like a bunch of weird stuff on your chest, which it literally showed. Like the MRI like computer screen like tripped out for a second, and then like when Dan from Veep is talking to Tom Hardy, the other doctor is like looking at the MRI screen, and you can see like all the shit in his chest, and it's like, why didn't that doctor say anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're just like, feel free to go home, Tom.
Yeah, they also know who this man is, and like they have this symbiote just trapped in this room, even though it's not trapped, it can get anywhere, it seems like.
Yeah.
I really liked Venom versus the SWAT team, but that's about the only action that was, I thought, pretty good. The rest was just CG cluster Fs.
I liked the first I liked pre chase scene in the apartment. I like that. Like when Venom first starts.
Basically the apartment fight scene from Upgrade, which is Venom light.
Yes. Yeah.
With Tom Hardy light.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. But boy, yeah, you're right. As we get closer to the end here, that final battle was atrocious.
Yeah, it was brutally bad. And like we all knew where it was going. It was always going to be the fire. They mentioned Venom mentions the two things, you know, freaking smoking
also,
gun.
He's still a bad symbiote at that point, and he's like, here's how to defeat me. In keeping with my Cookie Monster Venom voice, just tells them immediately.
I kind of like it though,
because
it kind of follows the Venom being a loser. Venom's also kind of an idiot. I'd like if they just like leaned into it like a little bit more too.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Back to this is so stupid, but I remember him just trying to eat like a steak, and he's like, he wants something live, and he's like, this is dead.
Yeah.
It's dead. And they're like, what are you talking about? Yes, it's dead. It's a steak.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's, yeah. I just, like, honestly, just 2 hours of that. Or give me an hour of that, hour and a half of that, and 30 minutes of whatever bullshit villain we want to come up with.
How about when they tease that Venom is out of his body, but you clearly know it's still in, and they're just sitting on a porch talking to him and his girlfriend. And you hear Venom say, she doesn't know that we're going to get her back. I was like, oh my God, it's so weird. So like, Does Venom watch him poop? And
Venom knows everything. Venom is there for Venom. Everything.
I kept waiting for him. They danced around him saying, "Because I'm inside of you," so many times. Yeah. They kept saying, "Because I'm in your head." So many dumb lines.
Yeah. God. That's another reason that I feel like it also could have been R-rated, because I feel there's like a fair amount of sexual innuendo that they probably could have gone with that could have gotten a few laughs. Like, that wouldn't have been like weird laughs, like Michael Fassbender playing the flute with Michael Fassbender in Alien Covenant, where he's like, "You finger, I'll blow," or whatever.
Yeah. Like when he was like, "Ooh, who's she? I like her." He could have said something else that was weird.
Yeah. Also,
it could have been a lot weirder. Could have been a lot funnier.
It was also the logic behind Venom and what he knows about Tom Hardy was weird, because Venom literally tells him at the end of one scene, "I know everything about you." He's like, "I'm inside your head. I know it's like everything." And then the next scene, the next scene is the fight with the SWAT team, and then Michelle Williams picks him up, and he's like, "Who's that?" Venom's asking who that is. It's like, I mean, I think you'd know. And it was when he picks up his phone and she's calling him. And it's like, obviously, Venom, you can know what's going on there.
Maybe the symbiote takes a while to kind of soak in all the brain info.
Maybe he's just a dumbass.
Turn the brain off. Yeah, he's also a loser on his planet. And since he's not a loser on Earth, he wants to save it.
Yeah.
Unearned character switch. Very weak, but I'll take it. Why did Sony show the ending of the movie in the trailer? Because that turd in the wind line turned me off from this movie so bad. But in the movie, in the context, after you learn the relationship and how dumb he is, it worked.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have shown it.
I don't know.
Get
kids
line.
Get kids wanting to go see it.
Yeah, I guess. But boy, it actually works in the movie, though.
Yeah, it does.
Are we ready to talk post credits?
I didn't stay because I needed to get home to die.
So do you know what happened?
No, I don't.
In the post-credits.
I haven't.
So I think his name is Cletus something. Cletus Cassidy, played by Woody Harrelson.
Oh, shit, in jail,
Is in jail. And Brock is going there to interview him for some reason. Can't remember
he's
what.
He's Carnage, right?
Yeah, so Cletus Cassidy is writing his name in blood in this cell. And Venom goes into the cell. Not Venom. Well, technically Venom. Yeah. Goes into the cell to interview him. And I don't really remember the dialogue, and I'm not a comic book reader, but Woody Harrelson has this unbelievably shitty-looking red curly wig. He looks like Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons. I don't know what they're doing. I guess they wanted to make it look like the comics, but he starts talking to him, and then Cletus Cassidy is like, "When I get out of here, it's going to be carnage." So I think what happens is apparently the symbiotes can asexually reproduce. And I think at some point, so Cletus Cassidy is like a mass murderer, psychopath. Mm-hmm. At some point in that cell, I'm guessing Venom comes out and then asexually reproduces and splits and then gets on Cletus Cassidy / Woody Harrelson, and Carnage is born, and then he's the next villain.
Interesting.
And I'm really hoping they go R for the next one.
Yeah.
Now that it's made a lot of money and we know it can make money. But that was the post-credit scene, but boy, you gotta Google Woody Harrelson images, because he looks so stupid.
I might just have to go see the movie again, and just so I can see the post-credit scene.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right, anything else?
No, that's it, man. Right. So C+ for me. Really wish we could get an R-rated cut. Hopefully we get one.
Yeah, C for me. I can't wait for the more romantic comedy potential from Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Stars Born and First Man, like I said before, non-spoiler and spoiler reviews for both of those. Remember to subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening platform you have. Follow and like and comment and share on all social media platforms. Check out glitchup.com for any new articles we're posting, any way to support us, any way to give us feedback. Feel free to check that out. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
And remember, we are Venom.
Venom, gonna get that Venom. Venom, Venom, gonna get that Venom. Venom.
All right.
Peace.
I got that Venom. Venom, not knowing Venom. Never gonna slow up Venom. Ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get 'em. They ain't gonna know what hit 'em. When they get beat with the Venom. I got that Venom.
said knock knock, let the devil in. Shotgun, pip-pip pellets in the felt pin. Cock fuck around and catch a hot one. It did seven and I'm not done. Vic Venom is the thought spun. Like your weapon, you're discarding them. Held against your will like a hubcap or a mud flap. Beat strangler, attack. So this ain't gonna feel like a love tap. Eat painkiller pills, fuck a blood track. Like what's her name's at the wheel. Then a cup Patrick through the car in the reverse at the Indian nut crash in India. The back of the just mangled steel. My Mustang and the Jeep Wrangler, the grill with the front smashed. Much as my rear fender assassin. Slim be a combination of an actual kamikaze and Gandhi. Translation, I will probably kill us both when I end up back in India. You ain't gonna be able to tell what the fuck's happened in India when you're bit with the venom. Venom, venom, venom. Not going with 'em. Never gonna slow up in 'em. Ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get 'em. They ain't gonna know what hit 'em when they get bit with the venom. I got that venom, venom, venom. Not going with 'em. Never gonna slow up in 'em. Ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get 'em. They ain't gonna know what hit 'em when they get bit with the. I said knock knock, let the devil in. Alien, it did Elliot phone home. Ain't no telling when this chokehold on this game will end. I'm loco, became a symbiote. So my fangs are in your throat, ho. You're snake bitten with my with the ballpoint pen, I'm gun cock, bump stock, double lock, buckshot, tie, top of Uggarot, tie, couple knots fired up and caught fire, juggernaut, punk rock, bitches going down like young jock, cause the doc put me on like sun rock, why the fuck not, you only get one shot. Ate shit till I can't taste it, chased it with stray liquor, then bathed in it, then drank till I faint and awake with a headache, and I take anything in rectangular shape, then I wait. To face the demons I'm bonded to, cause they're chasing me, but I'm part of you, so escaping me is impossible. I latch on to you like a parasite, and I probably ruined your parents' life and your childhood too. Cause if I'm the music that y'all grew up on, I'm responsible for you, the Austin fools. I'm the super villain, dad and mom is losing their marbles too. You marvel that Eddie Brock is you, and I'm the suit, so call me Venom. I got that adrenaline momentum, venom, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them. Ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them. They ain't gonna know what hit them when they get beat with the venom. I got that adrenaline momentum, venom, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them. Ready to snap any momentum.